Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
She was crazy. Just because I run a charity does not mean I have to buy rocks from every old lady.
Charity?
Just like everything Roman, it's part of business. We loan proceeds seized from criminals to the poor. And others. You're passing through. I do not recall seeing you before.
I come from Tyr. The mallet is carved of maple from Sidon. The chisels are bronze. The trowel is tin from Phoenician ore.
My. Why would anyone want to part with these?
I'm on my way to the Dead Sea.
Shalom, pilgrim. Lucky me. I do not often see items of such quality. If only they were not brought in by some stranger passing through.
They weren't stolen, if that's what you're saying.
I can justify 20 denarii.
You're joking, that's a fraction of what they're worth.
Hades and Styx,
I beg you.
Leper, you are marked!
You couldn't just die, you had to take us all to hell! The womb was forbidden within 4 cubits!
Take it and go!
I didn't mean you. Any harm. My tools were all I had left.
In the ancient world, there were not a lot of resources for dealing with certain problems. And if something was wrong with you, maybe in your body or a disease that you had, or something wrong with your mind, they really didn't have a way to deal with that to protect the community, other than to send you outside of the community. Maybe most famously, we think about someone with leprosy, which could be a variety of diseases, but we remember it mostly as a disease that eventually causes your body parts to start falling off at random until you die. Pretty scary stuff, right? We even can look at like Leviticus 13 in our own Bible from verse 45. It says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face. We learned a little bit about that this year, right? And cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. In an effort to protect a community, the best strategy seemed to be to take someone with something wrong to them and to send them away. And so part of what people learn to do out of anxiety is to hide the things that are wrong with them. How do I bury the thing that is wrong with me so that I don't get sent away? And what happens is the person who is made in the image of God has to go outside and figure out how to fix themselves away from everyone else. And if they can fix themselves all by themselves, then they can come back and join the group. And this happens like every week at middle school lunch tables and in boardrooms and in families all across the world. It is still how we deal with most problems. And what ended up seeping into people's consciousness was that your circumstances must be your fault. What has happened to you, your disease or your problem, you must have earned somehow. And so if you are, if you have something wrong with you, it's because you do not have good standing in front of God. So this makes it easier to send someone away when it's not just that you have something wrong with you, but you are the thing that is wrong, right? And all of that makes sense, I guess, at some level in of itself if a community is trying to protect itself. But then Jesus shows up, right?
Hello.
Hello. Shalom.
It's a beautiful day for picking flowers.
Well, if you like Gilboa iris, lupine, and anemone, I sell them in the market.
Is that Egyptian?
Yes. I grew up there. My father was from Ethiopia.
Shaparnaya makamte anak. Shabuta sashashutne sashrutu. Natiu patanaya ansunu mahatea.
Tamar anaki nani yotiahuanu.
Anaki Yeshua nanazrate. Hatipuarta snotia.
Hakmunak. Shalom to you all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You were speaking Egyptian. I lived there when I was a boy.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi. No. Rabbi. Rabbi. You Rabbi. Cannot. His disease. You can't.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I am willing. Be cleansed.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor.
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Uh. There were a lot of reasons why people followed Jesus. Some of it was because of his teaching. He was saying things that no one had said before, and still today, no one has taught like Jesus. Sometimes there was food. If you showed up where Jesus was, there was a couple of times where there seemed to be miraculous amounts of food made, and in a society where food wasn't always easy to come by, free food could always create a crowd. Also, crowds draw crowds, right? That's just a part of life. But a lot of the reason why people showed up to follow Jesus, as we see in the Gospels, the four biographies about Jesus, is that he was a healer. He was a healer. And a lot of people sought him out for that reason. It's interesting, when God shows up in the flesh, he is interested in finding the people who have something wrong with them to do something about it, right? If we pick up in Luke chapter 5, Luke is a physician who becomes a Christian through the ministry of Paul, ends up researching his biography by going to Jerusalem and studying about Jesus and meeting with the people who knew Jesus. He writes more about healing than the other three Gospels combined. As a doctor, I think that was on his mind. In verse 12, it says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along covered with leprosy. Okay, that probably means he was missing a finger or nose or ear or something, at least. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Can you imagine the disciples thinking, great, we have to find a new Messiah. Is there another one laying around somewhere? Like, we can't use this one anymore. He touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news spread, the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Jesus was a healer, but he was a confusing healer in a lot of ways. Something that's not brought up directly is that he healed people for free. It was common if you had some remedy to give people that you charged money, right? But more confusing with that than that is that he told people not to tell anyone. Sometimes he pulled people indoors in private and would heal them there. He would heal people who were born blind and tell them, now don't tell anybody. I think they're going to notice, right? Jesus was constantly trying to not make this a show, which I also find interesting. And he touches the people who have something wrong with them. So not the send them outside the camp kind of God, but the kind of God who finds them and puts his hands on them and looks them in the eye. And he keeps wanting to have conversations with the people he heals. There's a woman who finds him in a crowd and gets healed just by touching him. And Jesus stops like the whole caravan until he can find that woman, look her in the eyes, and have a conversation with her. When he heals 10 lepers, they're far off at a distance doing what they're supposed to be doing, staying away. Do you know who Jesus is interested in? He's interested in the ones that come and have a conversation with him after he heals them. He wants to look these people in the eyes and get to know them, to like pull them back into community. This is a sign, what Jesus, God in the flesh, is doing. This is a sign of how the world was always supposed to be and that he is restoring all things. Jesus is God putting the world back together one bit at a time. People on the outside, people on the inside. This is a part of the recreation of the world, which flips upside down a lot of people's understanding of things. And when Jesus comes announcing the kingdom of God, it's not easy for everybody.
Comfort. Comfort my people, says our...
A little further down, few lines.
A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of Adonai. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
And... who does that sound like?
The heretic John.
And what heresy do you find in those words, being that Isaiah said
them? The heresy is that John has appropriated Isaiah's words by taking a spiritual description of God in heaven and applying it to John's physical successor on earth.
Successor?
John said, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie.
And?
God has no body. He cannot wear sandals. God cannot take human form. To say so is blasphemy.
And where does it say that God cannot take human form?
In the scroll of Deuteronomy. You saw no face the day Adonai spoke to you at Horeb.
Just because they saw no form doesn't mean God cannot take one.
In Exodus, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. This person would have to walk around with his face covered. Ooh.
So you would place limits on the Almighty?
None that are not written in law.
And if God did something that you felt contradicted the Torah, would you tell him to get back in that box that you have carved for him? Or would you question your interpretation of the Torah?
When I was a student, I knew all your sayings. I read every word you wrote. Your teachings were so sturdy, so reasoned and pure.
We are still students, Shmuel. All of us. Our understanding will never be complete.
It frightens me that I can no longer predict your rulings.
And fear alone ensures we remain ignorant.
When Jesus hits the scene, the religious structures have a hard time with that. The religious people have a hard time with that because they have a set interpretation for how things are supposed to go. And when God shows up, God doesn't listen. Odd, don't you think? And Anna, I've found that I do this and that we do this often. That instead of remembering that we are still students, that we do not understand God, that we tell God that he has to do things the way we would do them, instead of Jesus constantly surprising us over and over again, for a long time in my life when I was younger, my best interpretation of scripture was that women should stay in a certain box. That they shouldn't lead, that they shouldn't teach, that women were basically there to support men in their life, and that they had certain roles, and that men had certain roles, better roles in the world and in society and in family. And that was my best crack at interpreting scripture. I knew people believed differently than me, but I was sure that I was right. And then I met a few ladies that could lead. And that could teach, and that I could sit at their feet and be changed by the Holy Spirit. And they opened me a little bit, and I went back to scripture and looked at the way that Jesus treated women. I looked at the trajectory of women through scripture as God is changing things. And over time, I learned, best I can tell now, that I was wrong. That I was wrong, and that I had to remain a student. I had to remain a student and not tell people, I've got the formula, God has to fit my formula, right? And I found that over time, my immaturity is the thing that keeps me holding on to a formula instead of letting God constantly surprise me as we do our best to understand him. And when Jesus shows up and is the kind of God that doesn't kick people out of the camp until they can figure themselves out there, but is the kind of God that pulls people in, looks them in the eye, touches them, pulls them close when there's something wrong with them. That was not the kind of thing that went well for most people. But when we trust that God isn't a formula, but he's like Jesus, we can be surprised over and over and over again.
Which brings up a good point. All of you listening here, you're pretty decent people, yes? Pretty righteous, kind of. Not bad. Let me tell you a story.
There were two men that went up into the temple.
Excuse us.
One
please.
Of them was a Pharisee, Festus, right? The other was a tax collector.
Good to see you.
Word. Yes?
This is Jesus of Nazareth.
He's listening, standing by himself.
Goes inside to the temple and he prays this prayer.
You hear okay?
Yes.
He's amazing, huh?
God, I thank you that I am not like other men.
Excuse me.
Extortion.
Excuse us.
Unjust.
Please.
Where are you going?
Please, we need to see Jesus.
There's no room up there.
He's paralyzed from the waist down. He can't stand.
There is definitely no room then.
Simon, he deserves to hear Jesus as much as anyone else.
Hello again. I'm I'm so glad I found you. My friend, you're here.
Why do you need to get closer?
I saw what your master did to the leper. I know what I saw.
We're trying to keep that under wraps for now. Look at this crowd. Imagine what we'd be
against.
Please.
Please, help me get my friend to him.
Who's that company?
I talk to them. I talk to them.
Come with me. I'm sorry, there's too many people.
But you know him. Can't you get us any closer?
I don't want to interrupt the teacher by causing a scene.
What if you were me?
Wouldn't you want your friends to make a scene?
It was you once.
What about the roof?
So in this series, we are using the TV series, The Chosen, obviously to kind of bounce our sermons off of. And some of this is them weaving a few stories together and using some artistic license to fill in some gaps here. And what they have, though, that they've tapped into is that the people that came to Jesus for healing were people that believed that there was something there to be found. And they have this character, a woman, who is standing between two poles, I guess, two things she needs to connect. Between this Jesus, who she believes wants to heal people, and someone that she knows that needs healing. And she wants to connect those two dots. In Mark, we'll pick up the story in chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Is there someone that you know that has something about them, some circumstance in their life, some sin they have committed, that they believe or that others believe means that they need to be outside the camp? That they need to be outside the camp. In their day, someone was paralyzed, someone had leprosy. There was easy ways to tell. In our day and age, it can be tough to tell because we have also learned how to cover our problems pretty well. And a lot of what people carry right now is on the inside. Is emotional wounds, damage on the inside, mental illness, trauma from the past, betrayal from the past. Maybe they lack trust. Maybe they've screwed up and people have rightly put boundaries and it is time to introduce them to Jesus. And as a church, we don't want to be the kind of folks that are saying, these are the people who can come in and these are the people who can't and God has to fit in our box. We want to be someone who has met Jesus and knows some people that need Jesus and connect the two. So is there somebody that needs to borrow your faith? Is there somebody that needs you to carry them to Jesus?
Zebedee wouldn't light his lamp and put it under a basket. Put it on the stand where it could light us all.
Jesus of Nazareth! I saw what you did to the leper on the road this morning. My friend has been paralyzed since childhood. He has no hope but you. Please, do for him what you did for the leper.
That's a rope!
Put it back, man!
I know you can do this.
Down.
teach.
Answer me.
If you are willing, Rabbi, you know you can.
Hey, I'm talking to you. By whom do you teach? Certainly not the authority of any rabbi from Nazareth. Where did you study?
Your faith is beautiful. Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right. But I ask you, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven. Or rise up and walk. It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, my son, rise. Pick up your bed and go home.
This group of friends just wouldn't take no for an answer, right? And in verse 4, it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. That is not normal. You don't go to someone's house and start digging through their roof. But when Jesus saw their faith, so for Jesus, them breaking social conventions to get their friend to Jesus was a positive thing. When he saw their faith, this isn't about the paralytic's faith, this is about the faith of his friends. He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. That's not why he showed up. If I fell off my roof putting Christmas lights up there, the EMTs come because I shattered my femur, and the guy runs up and he says, I've got good news, I forgive you. I don't care. I want you to fix my leg. Why is Jesus starting there? Among other things, remember, people assumed that if your circumstances were bad, it's because you had sinned. There is something wrong with you, that you need to stay outside the camp. And when he gets him close, the first thing Jesus says is, son, you and I are family. And when you're around me, your sins don't get in the way of you and God anymore. Your circumstances, your sins, your past, your bad choices, they don't matter. Is your status in front of God anymore? Jesus starts there with this man that had believed for a long time that he should write himself off and that others should write him off. He was just lucky he had some friends that didn't agree with him on that, right? So he goes on, now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, there's always a religious person to cause trouble, isn't there? Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Every now and then, not super often, but every now and then, I am so glad that we take a little heat at our church for who we love. Every now and then we take a little heat, you know, because we've got some gay couple or somebody that uses drugs or someone that struggles with anger hanging out, and we let them in and we pull them close and we love them. And every now and then we get a phone call from an email. It's always an email. It's not a phone call. It's an email. You know, how can you? Well, just trying to do the Jesus thing. And immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, take up your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. We're not able to hide this anymore. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is a picture of the church. Knowing Jesus and knowing someone that needs Jesus and connecting the two. And we want to be about that. Now, it is worth saying that Jesus wants to restore the whole person. He starts with his sins. You are forgiven. I want to restore your soul. He heals his body, but he also heals the man's identity and his connection to community. That is all a part of this moment. Jesus is restoring the whole person. And then interestingly, the first thing he tells him to do is to take up his mat and walk, which is asking him to live out his healing. He is asking him to live in accordance with a whole life. So Jesus asks him to participate in living the way that he is called to live. Jesus often does this. He tells a man that he heals by putting stuff on his eyes, go wash off. He tells the leper that he meets on the road to go offer sacrifices. He asks us to do things that confirm and live out our healing. It's not just, you came to me broken, we're happy you're broken, we're so glad you're here, we're just all gonna forget that you're broken. We walk people towards wholeness, and we ask them, because we love them, to live like they are whole now. Right? Those are things that we do together. But listen, you know people that have written themselves off, or they have been written off by others, or they assume that God has written them off. And you may need to get to know some people to find out if that's what's going on inside them. There are people that need an invitation to church. There are people that's not their next step. Their next step is brownies from you. Who doesn't love brownies? I mean, is that not good for the soul? And people that need someone to look them in the eye and say, I'm so glad you're my neighbor. Someone to say, I'm so glad our kids are on the same team. I'm so glad that we shop at the same store. I don't know. But someone to look them in the eye and to let them know that they are seen, that they are loved, and that when they're ready, you can bring them to a God that wants to put them back together. I believe that God is in the business of restoring the world, and that he wants us to be a part of that, to know people that need it. Not some formula that we're gonna work, but out of desperation that creates this like container for faith to fill. We wanna bring people to the God that wants to restore them, body, mind, soul, identity, and community. Yeah? Let's pray. God, we want to be in the business of restoring the world like you. We want to be in the business of bringing heaven back to earth. Not in the business of accepting the world as it is and pushing people that are broken out. Lord, help us to figure out the wisdom of that, as community does need structure and boundaries, that we are calling people to live as holy people who walk away from sin, who walk away from things that break them, but that we in desperation want to bring them to you as you restore us, as you restore them. We are constantly surprised by you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and that this is what you were like. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.